seated. Let us move forward as we continue in our continuum of that which we began, and we shall move progressively through, slowly and meticulously, the doctrine of, the scriptural doctrine of regeneration. Such a blessed and glorious entreatment that we are able to glimpse and see the essence of what we are, what we always have been, what we are in the eternal realm of God. Amen. For it is certainly an encourager, amen, that we reflect upon it and that we focus upon it. Amen. For it gives true meaning and understanding of what God has accomplished in us. Amen. There are some who focus on the essence of denominations and organizations and what purportedly we are, what purportedly we should be. And then when you look at that and you see the entanglement of humanity and she said, depraved flesh in its operation, amen, it draws a strong contrast to what the scriptures say that we are. And this causes confusion, great confusion. And the problem is we continually get the old man mixed up with the new man. Hallelujah. What we really are, what we really are in Christ is not what we see in manifestation. Mm-hmm. What you really are, what as a position, as one who has been positioned in the body of Christ, one who is saved, mm-hmm. one who is basically the essence, the reciprocate rather, of the essence of the nature of God. Amen. When we look at the eternal workings of God and we see that accomplishment, and we never lose sight of that accomplishment, then it gives some consistency and understanding to what the scriptures our gospel, I should say we are and who we are. Elder Liverman is our designated reader this morning. Elder, you know where to go. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Everyone turn to Titus chapter 3. Verse 1, our focus is on verse 5. And then I'm going to go into a little technical analysis and structure this morning. I'm praying that you'll be able to follow me, but it is necessary before we progress into our discourse that we set these guidelines, and basically we preference our future presentations based upon our understanding of what we should expect from the scriptures. What is it we should expect from the scriptures? What is it? What is the expectation of the scriptures? What can we expect when we read the Word of God? What can we have confidence that it will do in relationship to its conveyances. All right, Elder, start off and read there, verse 1, down through verse 7, and go back and just read verse 5 today on, verse 5 through 7, I should say. Verse 5 through 7 to the Greek, from the Greek text, but read entire 1 through 7 from the King James. Everyone that has Titus chapter 3, verse 1, say amen. Amen. All right, Elder Reed.
Titus chapter 3, begin with first verse.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work,
mm-hmm.
to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
Mm-hmm.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done,
mm-hmm.
but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
All right, now, let's, those of you that got your Greek Bibles, let's look at verse 5, and those that don't, listen as he reads verses 5 through 7 from the Greek text, this from the Greek Interlineal Bible. Read those three verses of Scripture as we consider the conveyance from those writings. All right, Elder.
Titus 3, verse 5, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works in righteousness which did we, but according to the of him mercy,
uh-huh.
he saved us,
mm-hmm.
through washing of regeneration, and renewal spirit,
washing, regeneration. Amen. That's what the accomplishment is. Amen. And the scripture is very clear in this expression. All right. Now go to verse 6.
Of holy, which he shed on us richly through Christ, through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7?
Oh. Yes, verse 7.
In order that, being justified by the of that one grace,
mm-hmm.
heirs, we might become according to a hope of life eternal.
See the difference there? We might become, and actually, of course, that is an aorist. I'm sorry, that is a subjunctive aorist. Aorist subjunctive. That is in a subjunctive mood. That is, means that it is a probability. The probability that you might become heirs. But if utilizing the full extent of the grammar, it is in the aorist tense. So you have a past completed probability, which you must look into not just the sphere of time. To fully understand that, you must look into the sphere of eternity. The eternal aspect of it is that it has already happened.
Yes.
The time aspect of it is that it is a probability, but the only probability is whether you are the elect of God. And we don't know who the elect of God are, except you know that you are the elect of God, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has witnessed to you that you are God's elect.
Amen.
Amen. So the aspect of becoming heirs is basically that conclusion that can only be drawn by those who have been witnessed by the Holy Spirit. That if you an heir of God, you were an heir of God. You were elected and you were positioned and placed in the body of Christ in eternity before yes. time. Oh my God, isn't that deep?
Yes, hallelujah.
And so getting there, getting to heaven, making an end, the expressions that are basically used in the circles of Christendom, being saved, is all traced back to the decree of God. And that is a difference between what the King James said that we should be, which gives some insurance that this is what you should be, but you might not be. Amen. But you are. You are. You are not based upon what you do or what you can do. And thank God it's not that way. We're going to touch on a few aspects of this morning. Now, in ministering to you, I want you to focus on the essence of what the scriptures are committed to. As we focus on the doctrine of regeneration, follow me closely this morning. I'm going to mostly talk to you. There's some analytical analysis we're going to have to do here, and this will preference what we do in the following weeks. As we focus on the doctrine regeneration, as I said to you last week, briefly as we were closing out, there are certain principles that are embedded in dispensing this truth. They are critical to comprehending and fully appreciating the glorious and eternal blessing of regeneration. What is regeneration? Regeneration is what you are. And what you are is what you are and what you were in the eternal stream. In other words, what God in eternity made you is what you are.
Yes.
Born again, we hear all of these expressions of conversion, getting saved, and we look at what the church has fostered as being the state of regeneration. We see many, many terms that we shall be again and again as we discourse this over and over and over and over and over again to you. Birth, new birth, begotten. They speak of it as a change, being changed.
Yeah.
Amen. Being resurrected, being redeemed, being reconciled. Here, each one of these carried the suffix re, which means again. Again means something is being repeated. And basically, it is not new. It is new in manifestation, but it is not new in actuation. Amen. And so as we look at the essence of all of these meanings, it is critical that as we read the Word of God, as we go through the varied aspects of the Scripture conveyances, that we understand these four principles. One is consistency. Follow me now. Consistency. The Word of God is consistent. our gospel is consistent. What the scripture said to you are free from contradictions. Amen. There are no contradictions, but you must understand that regeneration is expressive of what we are in the eternal realm. What you are in the eternal realm is the true depiction of regeneration.
Yes.
What you are in time is manifestation of the depraved nature.
All right.
What you truly are is what you were and always will be in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
A positioned son. Amen. Given the nature of God through the righteousness of Christ. That is in the eternal stream. And when we look at time, we must see time for what it is. Time is for manifestation only. Time does not interrupt eternity. I know that many of the theologians that preach eternity past, time, and eternity future. Time is but a small capsule within eternity. Eternity hasn't gone anywhere. But we were created manifestation-wise and placed in the small capsule of time, which is temporary. Don't you ever think that eternity has been suspended.
All right.
Hallelujah. What you will be, you are not manifestation-wise, it has not been revealed to you yet what you are, but what is manifested is not the essence of what has been actualized. What is actualized is what is real. What is manifested is what God has chosen to reveal to you. Consistency. The second one is coherence. That is the assertions and hypotheses must be related in a unified manner. So as you read the scriptures, you see a consistent, unified display of information there that is before you. Amen. Coherency. Amen. Unified. Amen. Not fragmented, but unified. Amen. The third principle is comprehensiveness. They are applicable to all evidence. As this, everything is saying the same thing. All of the scriptures that speak concerning who you are. Amen. And this is why we must draw a line of distinction as to that which is conveyed in the sphere of eternity from that which is conveyed manifestly in time. In eternity, you all are what you will ever be or need to be. In time, manifestly, amen, you, amen, are housed in a body that is depraved, the flesh. Amen. It is in strong contrast to that which you are, amen, in the essence of who you are, that is the new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then it's when we get it all mixed up that we begin begin to think that we see in some inconsistency. But there is no inconsistency. And basically we must comprehend Who we are is who we are in the eternal stream. And then, one that caps it all off, the fourth principle. Follow me now. I know we're getting a little technical this morning, but these are principles that I want you to apply to all of the scriptures that we shall be going through. The fourth one, principle is congruity. Amen. Congruity. Those who are into geometry and trigonometry know what a congruent triangle is. Amen. All of the sides and the angles all match. It is the exact replica. So what one says, amen, fits all together. In this case, the assertions and hypotheses must align. And they must be accurate. They must be adequate. Everything that we say must be precise. In the dissemination of all the data, everything that you read in here concerning you, amen, should fit this description.
Yes.
And the acid test is this, that the whole must equal the sum of its parts. We must be able to take it all and put it together and it all fit and nothing is out of counsel. Amen. Follow me now. If one part of the whole is out of sync with the whole, then the whole must be revised or adjusted to include that part. But when you include that part, it must be included without throwing the other parts out of sync. Amen. And the interpretation must be reflected of all the conveyances. Amen. There's nothing more disheartening to read or what you think you've read concerning what you should be, amen, and the scripture is certainly true in testifying what we should be, but when these conveyances are given, they're speaking about what you are in Christ Jesus, amen. And then when we look around and we see other scriptures talking about what you are not. In one place is saying what you are, and another place is saying what you are not, and that's confusing. But all of the parts are synchronized, and they're going together. But you must separate the new man from the old man. You must separate what you are positionally in eternity from that which is being manifested in time. Follow me now.
Amen.
And we shall go through some of these.
Glory.
Another integral part of scriptural evaluation is ingression. Ingression simply means that some of our assertions, claims, or hypotheses might be more deeply embedded or more crucially interconnected than others. There's some information, amen, is crucial to the tying of it together. Amen. This is why we focus so hard on the doctrines of salvation, the justification, sanctification, glorification, the actions, the likes of these. This depth of ingression does not imbue perceived doctrinal opinions that are not substantial, as they are upon close scrutiny, if they're not taught right, proven false. Amen. This is why we have to have the correct concepts of justification, what it means to be justified. We must have the correct concept of sanctification.
That's right. Come on.
What it means to be sanctified.
That's right. Yes.
Because when we mix these up, it throws everything out of counter. And what happens happens is, in one place the child of God reads what he should be. In another place, he reads what he's not. And it causes confusion. And confusion leads to frustration.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
And this is why many, they start out fervently and because they're not able to connect the component parts together in one, it causes them to become despondent.
Yes.
Even some become apathetic to the end that what I'm reading is not all coming together. And we've all, at some point, as we read this Word of God and we studied the Word of God, we became confused and frustrated. Amen. I think I heard one brother say before he came to the knowledge of this, he had such a bad day at one time. He was driving. He pulled off the highway, amen, to thank God that that wasn't the day that he was to give an answer. Amen. You see, because there was a big gap between what it says we are.
Yeah.
That is perception-wise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was being manifested.
Yeah.
And revealed. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, and this is why the doctrines of salvation, the mechanics of the workings of salvation, of what God has done and how he has done it, is so aggressive. Follow me now. Again, scripture perceptions are truly deep ingressions, and they are more dependent upon consistencies in the context. Amen. And this is why we stop to teach the adequate and scriptural convinces of the eternal workings of God. This is why we, amen, are so careful to point out that it is not about you. It's not about what you are doing. It's not about what you can do. Amen. It is not reliant upon human nature and human activity, amen, to carry out these instructions, workings that work toward what the new man in Christ is. Now the testing of these matters is thus more contextually crucial, and it must be conducted carefully with a great deal of evidence. Follow me now. And when you look at it this way, no accommodating changes are justified. One thing that just messes everything up is if you don't outlay the teaching of what you are correctly, and then you begin to see the manifestation of the flesh, and you begin to see your shortcomings, it induces some to go back and start to change it. Bad doctrine, amen, incorrect doctrine begets more bad doctrine. Now what happens is that somebody's going to roll into the Old Testament and start teaching something that doesn't apply to you.
That's right.
going back and grabbing something that is not meant for you. In dispensational teaching, follow me now. Separation between Israel and the church is deeply ingressive. What I'm saying is, it is critical.
Yes. Amen.
That you understand that members of the body of Christ, the church, and the Commonwealth of Israel are distinct. They are separate. They are different. Now, there's only one salvation plan.
All right.
But there are distinct placement plans.
Glory.
And next week, we won't get to it today. We will look at Matthew, I think it's 28:19, and when he speaks of regeneration and relationship to the Commonwealth of Israel. Amen. You will see that which is stated in the realm of time, and you will see that it is inadequate to describe what you are in the eternal realm. Now follow me now. You must separate the church from Israel in applying the different covenant connotations. What you read in one portion of the Bible may contradict that conveyance in another part. And I said, "Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? Follow me here now. What is said in one covenant may not be applicable in another covenant." Amen. Example, I may say one thing to Deacon Gavin about something, amen, of something that I want him to do, amen, and I may speak to Ella Liverman about something else that I want him to do, amen, and they're different things, but I was talking to do two different persons.
Glory to God.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God.
It is dangerous to go back out of your gospel into those scriptures and grab something that is in another covenant, because in those covenants, the conditions and terms of those covenants are different from the intent of the covenant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The intent of the law was never to prove that you could manifest in time, amen, the essence of what righteousness is, amen, even though this is what condition stipulated you should do, amen. The intent was to show you that you can do it. So you have the consistency and the coherency and the comprehensiveness and, oh yes, the congruency of what the scriptures convey. Amen. But you must have this ingressive input of knowledge to know, first of all, where you're reading and what you're reading and what that conveyance is in light of the knowledge of that covenant. You don't get this, amen, great knowledge of the vantage point of viewing who you are in Christ Jesus until you get to the writings that are in these 14 epistles.
Amen.
You can't really see who you are back there in Isaiah.
Amen.
No. Especially back there in Deuteronomy.
Oh.
I cringe when they run to Deuteronomy.
Oh.
Because what is conveyed in that portion of the Bible, amen, is so restrictive in knowledge, amen. It's like sitting on the ground trying to see on the top of the bridge. You can't do it.
Say that. No, preach out. Amen.
So we must have these ingressions. Ingressions.
Yes, Lord.
A knowledge of the essence of the vantage point of the heavenly view of that which has been given to you, to your understanding, to your comprehension. So you must divide the Bible, and you must divide Israel from the church, and you must divide those writings that are in the earlier portions of the scriptures. They are there for your teaching. They are there for you, but they are not there to you. Amen. And you must keep that separation, because if you remove it, confusion immediately ensues regarding variances in what Paul has written as opposed to conveyances in other scriptures. And this is why we don't understand. You got to know not only what you're reading, you got to know where to read. And depending upon where you're reading, you must assimilate that knowledge and channel it in the context of what the intent is of those writings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Now, likewise, follow me here now. It's a little, academic today, but it's important. Follow me. The doctrine of total depravity. Listen. And regeneration are deeply aggressive. They don't conflict. Amen. You are in regeneration, a perfect entity in Christ. You are in time, totally depraved.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, that's conflict. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't try to make the new man the old man. And don't try to make the old man the new man.
Amen.
We're looking at the new man, and we're trying to draw. We're looking at the old man, and we're trying to draw regeneration out of the old man. And he's not there. Paul said, this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed. We have what?
The building of God.
Not what?
Not made with hands.
Amen.
Eternal.
Eternal. Eternal. Eternal. Eternal. There's a difference between what you are in time and what you are eternal. So, what about Pastor? Yeah, that's not making sense. I think I'm saved now. Well, you are. The essence of who you really are. It's who you are in Christ, in eternity. Anything and everything might be manifested in the flesh. That's why, don't you ever point at someone because of what they've done or what something you've seen them do and said whether that person is saved or not. It doesn't matter what they do. You cannot draw a conclusion.
Amen.
As to who's God's elect and who's not God's elect. Don't judge.
That's it.
Don't even try to be a fruit inspector.
Amen.
How can, you know the old saying, the pot can't talk about the kettle? How can one who is entrenched in total depravity defense, condemn someone else who's amen. In the depths of depravity. Depravity is depravity.
Yes. Oh, amen.
No. So, well, he did this. Well, you did that.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Well, here's a worse than mine. Says who?
Oh,
says society. Not good enough.
Good enough.
What else is what God sees What is it? What is what God assesses?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Friday night, Deacon Gavin was teaching us in the Bible study, even Bible study. He hit upon something. I want you to stop and just turn to Romans chapter 3. Amen. We got this thing all messed up. We're thinking that we're some that we're not.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Huh? And you know, thing is not bad when it's me. But it's terrible when it's the other fella.
Come on, Pastor. Hallelujah.
You know?
Hallelujah.
But it's not about my assessment or your assessment. It's God's assessment. Start at verse 19. Elder, from the King James verse. And go down through verse 24, I guess. All right, everyone has the third chapter of Romans. Amen. This point was brought out by Deacon Gavin, but he doesn't have any. You don't have no copyright on this. Amen. So I'll freely use it, and I don't need his permission. Amen. Oh my God! Hallelujah! Isn't God great?
Amen.
It's always speaking to our hearts. All right, everybody got Romans 3:19. Say amen. All right, Elder, read that first from the King James.
Romans 3, verse 19,
mm-hmm.
King James translation.
Uh-huh.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith,
mm-hmm.
it saith to them who are under the law,
mm-hmm.
that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
All right.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Say that again.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Say that once more.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
All right, verse 24.
Being justified freely by his grace.
Say that again.
Hallelujah.
Being justified freely by his grace.
Say just those three words. Say it again.
Being justified freely by his grace.
Uh-huh.
Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Through what?
Through the redemption.
Amen. Going back. Why are you justified? Is your justification moving forward to something that you can do? Does your justification revert back to something that God has already done?
Already done.
Amen.
Come on, Pastor.
Glory to God.
Because when it boils down, none of us are good.
Amen.
That's it.
Flesh is flesh. There's depravity within all of us. But yet, we are redeemed.
Come on.
We are resurrected.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
We are reconciled.
Yes,
we are regenerated.
Yes.
But it is not based upon the manifestation of the present or the future, but the actualization of what God did in the past.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
All right, let's go to the Greek text. Those who have it, turn to it. Those that don't have it, listen closely. I'm praying as quickly as possible that everyone in this ministry will have that interlinear Greek reading to follow, because there's so much that is lost in the translation. Amen. A lot of editorizing going on. Amen. Which just takes away from what the conveyance really is. Elder, the 19th verse there.
Verse 19?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Romans 3:19, Greek text, translation. We know, but that whatsoever things the law says to the ones in the law.
To the ones in the law. To the you don't want to be in the law.
No.
The law will wear you out.
Yes.
The law will kill you.
Amen. Yes.
Why don't do this and I do them? Don't do that. Read the whole thing. And in the law, down the two scores.
Come on.
0 and 100.
100.
Righteousness is not a relative term. Righteousness is an absolute term. You're either righteous or you're not.
Yes.
And to be righteous, you must be every bit in every degree what the standard of God requires for righteousness.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And if you fell in one point, you fall in all.
Glory to God.
Read.
To the ones in the law, it speaks, in order that every mouth may be stopped and under judgment may become all the world.
Now, you see that Greek word there is yenite. That is a verb. It is in the subjunctive mood, but it's in the aorist tense.
Mm-hmm.
And another scripture that says that we were all concluded. We were all deemed to be sinners. Depraved flesh was never made to be righteous with the desire of righteousness or with the thought of righteousness.
That's it. Amen.
Amen.
Depraved flesh was to manifest depravity. And from it, God draws, or he drew, selected ones, and he placed them in the body of Christ. And the testimony of his manifold wisdom is that he has composed or comprised the glorious, most blessed thing, and that is the body of Christ, amen, with the nature of God that was drawn from the depths of the purity.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
And become all the world,
see,
become all the world to God, because by the works of law, not will be justified.
Mm-hmm.
All flesh before him.
It wasn't designed that way. Read.
For through law is full knowledge of sin.
Mm-hmm.
But now, without law.
But now. Everybody say, but now.
But now.
Without law, a righteousness of God.
So, the righteousness, amen, is not akin to the law. The law, amen, expresses what the standard of righteousness is, but you can't go through the process of the law to achieve it.
Amen.
Read.
Has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, a righteousness and of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all the ones believing.
Mm-hmm.
For not there is difference, For all sin and come short of the glory of God.
For all sin. Indicative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aris. Conclusively.
Yes.
All flesh. We are born in sin. The manifestation.
Yes.
Of us. In time. Is relegated to that which is the rock, which is enrobed in the depraved flesh. Mm-hmm. And you cannot get righteousness from the depraved flesh.
No.
The scriptures are consistent. Our problem is we have the illusion of trying to draw righteousness out of the flesh.
Oh, can't do it.
Nothing's wrong with the scriptures. The scriptures never said. This is as you read this, that's not. It's telling us something, but we aren't listening. And the idea here is not to make anybody comfortable with what you're doing, and then anybody that's comfortable. With this fleshy, you just don't really know what the Word of God is saying.
That's it.
It's telling you that your flesh is worthless.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to be comfortable with that?
No.
Mm-hmm. Not just a few acts of the flesh. Mm-hmm. A certain act of the flesh. All flesh is sinful. All flesh is depraved.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to get this kind of teaching. Because we always want to think that we're good and there's something good within us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's why I'm saying be careful. Be careful who you point a finger at.
That's it.
Be real careful. Someone said every time you point the finger, at least three, you're pointing back at you.
That's it.
No. We've got it mixed up. We got the new man mixed up with the old man.
Yeah.
And we don't have, too much enthusiasm for the new man, because we have assigned him to the operation of the old man. Now, at times, God causes us to identify with the new man.
Amen. Bring it out, Pastor.
Don't you ever forget that manifestly in the flesh, you're not the new man.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know what they're saying. I went to the water. I was baptized. I come out. I looked at my hands. My hand was new. Looked at my feet, and they were too. No, you didn't. And don't you ever... Don't you ever be on an illusion what this flesh won't do.
Amen.
I have people say, oh, I wouldn't do that. You don't know what you would do.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
Quickest way to fall and to mess up is to think that you can.
You can. Amen. That's it.
What does the scripture say? It says, have no confidence in the flesh. Give no occasion to him. Don't pat him. Don't stroke him. Don't make excuses for him. Amen. He is just depraved.
Yeah.
That's all flesh. Did you finish that up, Elder?
Yes.
So when we look at it, our time is gone. Give me about 5 minutes. We're a little over this morning. When we look at this thing, we focus on the Word of God. It will prove itself. That is, if we basically are epistemic, that is knowledgeable, in the scriptures, they will prove themselves to exude the undeniable truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be adequate. The scriptures will be rational. They will be reliable.
Right.
And they will be suitable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you evaluate them, instead of conflicting, they will validate. That is, you will find the consistency, coherence, comprehensiveness, and congruity. I want to touch one thing and then I'm down. One more scripture, running a little over, but I don't want you to leave about this. Just turn back and let's look again. Oh my God. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to fast forward something here. Let's turn to Galatians 2:16. Just that one verse. I don't have time to go the other route. Amen. One of these days, maybe y'all allow me to preach about 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's always a big joke, eh? Galatians 2:16. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, last verse and then I'm down. Elder, read that.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law,
mm-hmm.
but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Don't you, but now, even the King James, don't you ever forget that. But let's go to the Greek where it really, 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 really brings it out. If you don't have a Greek Bible, just listen. 16th verse.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Greek translation. And knowing that is not justified a man by works of law,
mm-hmm.
except through faith of Christ Jesus.
Except through what?
Faith of Christ Jesus.
All right.
Even we in Christ Jesus.
See that?
Believe.
You don't believe to get in Christ Jesus. You're believing because you are in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
You see how you see me read it? Why don't we go to the Greek, please?
Amen.
Hmm? You don't take Seventh Avenue to get to Broadway. You're on Seventh Avenue because Broadway runs into it.
Glory.
Read that again.
You mean begin with even?
Yes, okay. Starting with except.
Okay. Except through faith of Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
even we in Christ Jesus believe.
I've got to revisit that next week. Our time is out. Keep reading.
In order that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by works of law.
Now here again you have a subjunctive aorist. You're not, first of all, you're in Christ and you're believing. The subjunctive aorist of being justified is not a matter of you believing to be justified.
Right.
You have a past completed probability. It is a past completed fact that God has placed you as his elect in the body of Christ, and you are justified.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I don't feel saved today. Well, we thank God it's not about your feelings.
Thank God.
So, well, I just messed up. Well, all depraved creatures have messed up. In fact, all depraved creatures are messed up. You see, it doesn't go forward, it goes back. So the justification of the probability of it goes back to those who are in Christ. But manifestation wise, except for yourself, you don't know who's in Christ.
Yeah.
But the justification is concomitant, or it accomplished being in Christ. Before it even got to the justified part, it says in Christ. In Christ means justified.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
In Christ means regenerated. And in Christ, and I'm going to close out. We'll start that next week. In Christ,
hallelujah,
means regenerated. In Christ means more than in flesh. And in flesh does not negate being in Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank God, Jesus.
Yes,
sir. Thank you.
Our operations in the flesh does not cancel out our status of being in Christ. Now, why do we say? Why do we take time and teach all of this? Because for you to have some confidence and some stickability and stability, for you to just operate in your right mind and stay on course, you must have this information. Because there are so many things. And the depraved essence of us being in the flesh that can testify against it in our minds. And if we don't really know what we read, you don't know whether you're coming or going. You don't know whether you're saved or not saved.
That's right.
Based upon what's happening in your life.
That's right.
And we don't have to teach this for you to go out and do whatever you're going to do. As we were saying this morning, Lord told Israel, he said, now if you do right, I'm going to bless you. But if you don't, I'm going to curse you. In fact, now, he told him, if you don't act right, this is what I'm going to do to you.
Totally.
So it's not like they didn't know. He said, well, I'm going to do right because I heard one minister say, you know, I make God obligated to, you can make God obligated to bless you. Huh? So yeah, if you just do what he said, do. Yeah. You do what he said, do. I mean, do it all. Read the whole law and do the whole law.
Do it all.
But you can't. In spite of what God told her, what did she do? She did what depravity does. Because you cannot draw righteousness out of the depraved nature. And so this information is here not for you to do less, but for you to do more. Not for you to do worse. You don't need that. Just be old. Just let depravity hang out and be old depraved self. You don't have to be. What even in the Old Testament it says, study to do right, and the other. Anyway, you're gonna do wrong automatically. Cease from evil.
Yeah.
Study to do good. It doesn't say study to do evil. A man doesn't have to sit down and study to do evil. The flesh, I guarantee you, automatically. The flesh self teaches itself. But God must intervene to throw out the good. Like the old people used to sing, when you see me walking right, God's using me. When you see me talking right, it's because God's using me. It's not me, it's Christ. It is God who has overruled the workings of depravity and caused me to identify with what I am in Christ, in the new man. We're going to take up next week, and this morning we didn't attempt to get into high gear and amen. Basically, we've laid the framework and the groundwork. As we go through the scriptures, we will see what? The consistency. Coherence. Comprehensiveness. And congruity. They will all fit. But you must ingress certain principles. A certain, amen, of truths. One is that you got to separate the old man from the new man so that you know who you're talking about and who the scripture is talking about. Amen. The new man and the old man, they're contrasting fellows. So when you read over here and it's telling you what you're not doing, he's talking about the old man. Not talking about the new man. And you read over here and it tells you what you should do and what you could do, he's talking about the new man. He's not talking about the old man. So when he's telling you can do it, you can because he's talking about the new man. And when he's telling you you can't, Paul said, in me, that is within my flesh that dwelleth no good. He's talking about the old man. And don't get the two mixed up. And then you all confused and you think that the scriptures, and you say, oh, can't nobody live this life. I feel like the brother I ran across and he said, asked me, he said, are you walking with the Lord? And I said, am I breathing? So, are you walking with the Lord? He said, no, I couldn't hack it anymore. It was a job. That is a job. The job was too tough. So see, confusion leads to despondency, frustration. Amen. But knowledge, it enlightens and it refreshes. Amen. And it gives us, amen, joy unspeakable. And knowing that we were regenerated in the eternal realm, and nothing that's going down in time will ever change it. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.